I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 5, if you would, please. Romans chapter 5. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning of endurance, from chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. So good to have visitors today. Good to see the young men and all back here in the back. You've been here before, right? Yeah, I thought so, last year. Good to have you with us today. God bless you for coming and being part of our service today. I read an article the other day. In 1987, there was a plane that was flying from Portland, Maine to Boston, Massachusetts. On the flight, the captain, Henry Dempsey, heard a noise in the back. Didn't sound right. So he got up and turned it over to the co-pilot. As the co-pilot was flying the plane, all of a sudden he noticed something that wasn't right. As Captain Dempsey was getting near the back of the plane, all of a sudden they hit some turbulence, and the captain noticed that the door in the back was ajar. Well, all of a sudden when he hit turbulence, the door flew open, and Captain Dempsey went out the door. He was gone. Well, all of a sudden, you know, the word got back to the co-pilot, so they had an emergency landing. And he had called ahead and had them send a helicopter out because they were over water to look for Captain Dempsey. Well, as the plane was flying along, it was about 4,000 feet, doing about 200 miles an hour. It finally landed. As the plane landed and came to a stop, they noticed one thing. Captain Dempsey was hanging on to the ladder that was on the door. It says that when the plane landed, his head must have been about 12 inches off the ground. So he was very fortunate that he didn't get hurt. But it said it took several people several minutes to pry his fingers off the ladder. In other words, you could call that true endurance, right? He was not letting go for anything. Now, you can laugh at that, but just think about being in that situation yourself. Things do happen in life sometimes that we don't expect. And things can happen very quickly as we move about our daily lives. The word endurance in the Bible, it speaks of this. It talks about the power of going on in spite of difficulties. Most of the time, when difficult times come, the first thing that we want to do is stop. We don't go any further. This is it. I'm stopping right here. There's some popular phrases, though, that came to mind as I was going over this text today. And I remember growing up, people used to tell you, keep on keeping on, you know. Just move on down the highway. Hang in there. And then they said this, put up with it. Sometimes hard to put up with things, isn't it? But they tell you to do that. And then the biggest thing was this, don't quit. Don't quit. Have you ever got to a position in your life when something happened, all of a sudden you just want to quit? This is enough of this, and you just give it up and move on? Sure we do. We had that time in our lives, we do those things. But there was a synonym here that determines these things for us as we persevere to move ahead. There's a word called tenacity. There's a word that's called stamina. That's a word here that's called the backbone. And when endurance is used in the Bible, it means to do one thing. It means to abide under or to be under something. We as Christians today are to abide under the Word of God. We're to live by His standards. We're to do everything He tells us to do. But sometimes it gets very difficult, doesn't it? Because we have a tendency to, over time, not listen to what God tells us to do. And that's the time that we get ourselves in that word that's called T-R-O-U-V-L-E, trouble. And when we get into trouble, the first thing that we do is we go back to the Lord and say, Lord, help me through this trouble that I'm going through. Even in Hebrews, in chapter 10, verse 36, I want you to listen to what it says. It says, for you need endurance, so that after you have, what, done God's will, you may receive what the promise is for you. So you need to stand up, you need to endure, and also you need to persevere. But there's one word that stands out to me today besides endurance that I'm going to talk to you about also, and it's a word called patience. I don't have any, just like you don't. But I want to try to show you in God's Word what it means to endure and to have patience and waiting on the Lord. So would you stand with me this morning, reverence the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, just a short reading this morning. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Really. Take it to heart right now and listen to what he said. And patience experience, and experience comes hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts of the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Heavenly Father, we are always blessed to come together to share in the relationship this morning. Pray the Spirit will be strong and move among your people. And truly, if there's anyone here that does not have that personal relationship with you, today will be the day they come to know you as Lord and Savior. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. First thing I want to talk about this morning is to accept the unchangeable. To accept the unchangeable. Now, I know that most of us in this room don't like change at all. You know, we fight, we chock our heels, and do everything that we can not to do what we're supposed to do. But you need some time to understand. You need to accept those things in life that cannot be changed. A great man of God by the name of William Barclay said this. He said, he talked about endurance. He said, it's the courage, acceptance of everything in life can do to us. And the transmitting of even the worst event into another step, he said, on the upward way. In other words, he said this, and I'll simplify it for you. Don't stop, keep moving ahead. That's pretty simple, isn't it? We have a tendency sometimes when we are working in our lives today that we like to stop and we don't like to progress too far. I think it's sad because, see, in a Christian walk of life, every day is a day of enduring and moving ahead. You're going to have difficult times in life. You're going to have things in life that you can't change, the unchangeable. And we have to learn to accept those things and to move on in life. If you bog yourself down on the things that are unchangeable, my friends, you'll never get anywhere in life because you'll be too long dwelling on what's going on around you. So you have to be in touch with what God is having for you to do today. And let's look at it this way. There are circumstances that continue to come our way, and I see them every day, that I wish I could change them, but I can't. So what do? I pray, God, it's in your hands. Lord, you take care of it, because I can't change it. And if we would really get the concept in our own walk of life today of where we are, how we're living, and the things that we need to do, we will be able to see changes come. But if they don't come, you'll be able to accept them and to move along in your walk of life. Our lives today, you know, God desires for us to grow in the likeness of His Son. And we know who that is, Jesus Christ. So whatever you do in life, my friends, whatever enters into our life, whether it's the unforeseeable things, the unfavorable circumstances, whatever it may be, tragic events, irritating people and all that that goes along with it, we are able to overcome those obstacles because God walks with us. The Spirit lives in us, and Jesus Christ died for us. We can overcome anything because He is there. Well, the problem we have today is when I read this text here, it says this, and not only so, but we glory in what? Tribulation. Tribulation. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to James with me. We've been doing Wednesday night Bible study in the book of James, and it's a very interesting book because it talks about growing in Christ, being mature Christians. Well, if you look at the book of James this morning, And you think to yourself about tribulation and things, James said this in the very beginning of the text. He said this in verse 2. And I want you to listen very carefully. He says, count it what? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in what? Divers temptations. He said, the various obstacles that come your way in life. He said, count it joy. Why would you count it joy? I call it a hindrance myself. But he said, count it all joy because he says, you know that I'm working with you to get you through the difficulties of life, when those tribulations come. Then he said this, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, he said, wanting of nothing. If you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who giveth to all men, he said, liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask how? In faith, he says. So when you think about life and you think about tribulation and things that are coming your way, just don't do one thing. Just don't give up and just don't quit. Because we have a tendency to love to quit. I was working on a project the other day, you know, and I got halfway through it, and I said, man, I don't want to do this. I was ready to quit. I was outside. I was at my son's house in North Carolina, and I just put up some insulation. That wasn't any fun. So I decided to go outside and cut grass and do a little weed eating, help him out a little bit, you know. Mate was beautifying the garden. And as I was cutting grass, and I haven't used a push mower in 25 to 30 years. If it ain't riding on a mower, my friends, I ain't doing it. So as I was there and I was cutting this grass with that little mower, this is what I would do. Yeah, I did that too. God bless you. As I pushed along, I did so much of the yard, and I'd stop and I'd do so much weed eating. Then I'd go in the house and sit down for 15 minutes. I'd go back out, I'd cut a little bit, and I'd weed eat a little bit, and then I'd go back in the house and sit down for 15 minutes. Yeah? I figured my age, I can do that now, amen? Yeah. And after I got about halfway through the yard, I thought to myself, you know, why did I just leave this for him to do? Because my wife said, you know, it'd be nice if you cut the grass and weed eat it for him, it'd look real nice. So you have to follow what your wife tells you, amen? And to do that. But I had this tendency in my mind just to quit. You know, and after I finished the yard, I said, this is great. You know, this is all done now. I go in the house and I can sit down. Wrong. If you know May, wrong. He bought all these big blinds to put up outside on his foyer area, you know, in the back of the house. So here I was out there putting these things up. Hot, sweaty. Rain wasn't coming, breeze every once on a blue moon. And all of a sudden I got one of them up and it didn't work right. I was ready to quit. Didn't realize I had a broke piece in it when I finished. So I got them all up. I said, this is it. I'm all done. Nope. Nate says, you got another project. I said, okay. So I went and did that project. Got through that project. I said, this is it. Nope. She says, I need some help out here in the garden because I'm putting all these flowers out here, you know. And, you know, May's the type of person, if you notice, when she puts flowers out in anybody's garden, she's got to build this great big old trench. You ever done that? Huh? It's nice to have a machine that you could do it with, but when you got one of these things, you have to push in the ground and pry it back, and, you know. I was ready to quit. Nope, not time yet. Got to go get some more mulch now. You got to get ready for that. So here we run down the store, come back, get all the mulch, put down everything else. I run in the house, take a shower, and I got clean. I said, I'm done. So that's it for today. But, you know, it's things like that that sometimes you get going, you want to quit because you just don't feel like doing it anymore. Well, that's the way the Christian walk of life is. You'll get so busy sometimes and caught up in things in the church and doing things, and you say to yourself, well, why am I doing it? Nobody else is. Don't like that, do we? You only got the handful that will, and you got the majority that won't. Why is that? Because we got this thing about, let somebody else do it. I've done it in my lifetime. Let me tell you what. Your lifetime is not done doing God's work until you're dead and gone. Amen. Amen? When it's all over, it's all over. And then you'll be with Him. But until the day, He said, you are to endure, you're to move ahead, you're to work hard, and you're to strive, to do everything that you can to what? Promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to endure in life and to do everything God says. A man by the name of J.B. Phillips said this. He understood some things about it in a lot of things in the book of James. Because the book of James talks about all this temptation and stuff. But he said this. When all kinds of trials, as I just read to you, he said, crowd into your lives, my brothers and sisters, don't resent them. A lot of times we do, don't we? Don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that you have come, he says, to test your endurance. But let the process, he said, go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find you have become what? Men and women of mature character, he says. In other words, he says, when you go through all these things of life, he said, you're growing. You're growing. You're becoming stronger in God's Word. So when tribulation comes, when temptations come your way, don't quit, don't give up, just keep persevering, it says. Keep moving ahead in the relationship. Accept the unchangeable things of life. But it's hard to do. But we can do that if we really try and set our mind on it. Well, if you can do that, what about adjusting, it says here, to the obstacles around us? I was reading this, and I thought this was very interesting. I was in the Navy, and how many of y'all were in the Navy or the Coast Guard or whatever on the ships, okay? All right. You understand a young captain coming aboard, new captain, right? You have one? I had a couple of those jokers. Boy, it was something. There was this young naval captain, okay? He was traveling. You know, first command on his ship, boy, you know, he's out there. He's pumped up, boy. He's going. They're at sea. All of a sudden, he spotted this light. So he radios ahead and says, you need to change your course by 10 degrees. And the answer came back in a few minutes. No, I'm not changing my course 10 degrees. So the captain went back and said, you don't understand. I'm a destroyer, and I'm a captain. He says, and he sent back to him, he says, okay, that's fine. He said, but I'm a lighthouse. Sometimes you got to understand it. You may think you're right when you're not right. You got to have patience, right? But this is how we live today. This is how our lives are today. In other words, we don't want to listen to other people. In other words, he told him, he said, you need to change what you're doing. And you need to change that 10 degrees. And you need to do it right there at that moment. Sometimes we don't like to alter our course, do we? We like to keep on a straight course. We want to be on that course. And sometimes we have to deviate from that course. And we don't like that. But let me tell you what. When you deviate, a lot of times it's to help you and to save you from messing up is what it does. Have you ever thought about the sensibility about people today? This is what Proverbs said in 22:3. A sensible person sees danger and takes cover. That sounds good, doesn't it? But he added something else to the verse when he said this. But the inexperienced keep going and are punished. In other words, you keep getting into trouble. That's why they tell you in church, you know, that the senior citizens ought to teach the younger ladies coming up. The men are the same way to teach the younger men coming up. Why? Because you've been there, you've done that, and that way you can get through the situation to know what's happening. But sometimes we don't do that, do we? We like to keep things to ourselves. Well, circumstances are sometimes unavoidable. Disappointments are certain. Obstacles are sure. And losses will occur, it says. I don't like obstacles. I don't like things in my way. But there's one obstacle that gets in my way every single day of my life, and it's called the devil. Now listen very carefully. He's an obstacle that I know that I have to work with every day. But I know that I can overcome that obstacle because I got someone better than him. I've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega working with me. I've got the Lord Jesus Christ walking with me day to day, arm in arm, hand in hand. He's there with me, going down the road, you know. And when the devil shows up, the first thing you got to do is say, and like you know what Jesus said to old Peter that time, said, Satan, get ye behind me. In other words, get out the way I'm coming through because I got the man with me, right? The master is with me, and we're walking down that road. Don't let obstacles keep you from doing what God has for you to do. When the trouble comes, when temptation comes, when endurance, my friends, is right there before you, continue to move ahead. You know, we get bogged down so much, you know, in life. You know, we do make some decisions sometimes that are not right. Yesterday was a good day. I got a phone call getting ready to cut grass up the road here on a riding lawnmower. Amen. Got a phone call. Says, there's somebody stuck in the ditch at the church. I said, what? How's somebody stuck in the ditch at the church? So I drove down here, right, and there's this great big Winnebago sitting right over here. In other words, he tried to make a turn to go to the shipyard. When you leave the day, check out where it was at. So we were there, you know, and he was in distress. He called somebody from the, you know, you call AAA, and AAA somebody will send them 200 miles away to come get you, right? So he says, I called AAA, they're going to send somebody, it'll be like 2 or 3 hours to get here. Well, you know, Miss Jennings down here, whew, he shouldn't have been in the road is all I can say. But the fact was this, that I said, well, I know somebody can take care of this. So I called Billy. Billy came down, brought his wrecker truck, and he looked at that big thing and said, he got more rig than I got truck here. I said, yeah, he does. So Billy and I, we were there talking to these individuals, right, you know, and told them making a bad decision in life, you know. He was just all upset. He didn't know what to do. So Billy latched on this thing and eased him right on out, didn't you, Billy? He was smiling from ear to ear. He couldn't thank you enough. Gave Billy a hug, gave me a hug. You know, he was just in hog heaven because he was out of the ditch. Well, the problem was this, and I think Billy and I realized one thing. He needed somebody else to drive that Winnebago, I'm going to tell you, ain't it right? But see, things happen to us. Things you don't expect. And those, you know, those obstacles are there. But you can endure if you continue to move ahead. But he didn't quit. We got him out and he went on his way. The fact is this. You and I can get in the ditch too. Very quickly. But when we get in the ditch, remember who's going to get you out of it. Who's going to reach you down in the muck and mire of the world and pick you up and put you on the right track. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't have to stay in the ditch, my friends, because we can get out of the ditch. You know? Because he's there to draw us out. Now, if you think about your life for just a minute and look at the tribulation that's going on here in this write-up here in chapter 5 of Romans. Look what he said. He said, knowing that tribulation worketh, I don't think so. Patience. Patience. Patience belong in a hospital, amen? Huh? Amen? But what about your patience? What about you as an individual? Well, let's look at abiding with some patience here. Someone once said, you can do anything if you have patience. But then I made this comment. You can take a sieve and put water in it. If you wait long enough for it to freeze, you can carry it anywhere you want. Amen? Isn't that true? Sure. Do you have that kind of patience? How about a sermon that a preacher is preaching? You want to learn patience? If I preach till 1 o'clock and you're still sitting here, you will learn how to have patience. Amen. Huh? Isn't that true? In other words, you can endure and you can have patience. Backside may be a little sore, but you can make it through that. See, we look at things like this and we can laugh about those little things. But the fact is this. Patience is very, very, very hard to deal with. Because when something doesn't go right, you'll throw it. You'll kick it. You'll say obscenities, and you'll say, oh, Lord, forgive me, please, you know. That's what we do. But we don't do that. We don't sit in a way. I don't have patience. You know that. You know, I have very little patience. Maybe we'll tell you that. And my patience is limited when I'm in a store. Amen? You go to Walmart. How many of y'all go to Walmart at least 5 days a week or six? Okay, some of you do. Every day I got to go to Walmart. I've never understood when you get to Walmart, they got 25 cash registers there and you got one working. And you got a line that's 5 miles long and you're sitting there going, well, I'll never get to the front. And then somebody get on the phone and go, we need help at the front counter here, please. 20 minutes later, somebody's dragging up to the front. And you still see the same old thing. This is amazing to me how the world works, isn't it? But isn't that true? How much patience do you have to stand in line like that? Huh? It's hard, isn't it? But you can endure it. You can do it. And if you want that item bad enough, you're going to stand in line until the sun comes up again. Amen. Guarantee that. But the fact is that we need more patience in our lives today. And unfortunately, most of us here in this room, they don't have patience. We need it. We usually pray for it. Lord, give me patience. Have you ever done that? And the problem is we want it now. I want it right now. Y'all remember Margaret Thatcher? You remember Margaret Thatcher? She was the head of England, right? Remember her in Parliament? Okay. This was her statement that she made about patience. I'm extraordinarily patient, provided I get my way in the end. Now, that was her scenario, as long as she got her way in the end. How many of us are like that, huh? As long as I get my way in the end. Yeah, all right, I like that. That's good, yeah. And the fact is this, what do? You can't learn patience by listening to a sermon. You can't learn it by sitting there in that pew, my friends. You're only going to learn it when going through situations of life that you can work with yourself and do what you need to do. Now, I want to give you a Greek word here. Okay? Long-suffering. Ever heard of that word? Huh? Long-suffering. That means patience, okay? But let me tell you what the Greek tells us about all of this. It talks about long-suffering. It's a compound word. And the word means this. The first part of the word long means long or far. In the Greek, it means long or far. You got the picture? Okay, now listen very carefully. You got the picture that the second part means this, hot anger or wrath. Okay? So you got long and far, hot anger or wrath. And you know what that really comes down to in our walk of life? Short-tempered. That's exactly what it means, short-tempered. How many of y'all have a short temper? You're like a fuse, man. Yeah. Let me ask you this question now. If you're short-tempered and things aren't going right, and you throw those little tantrums and you're kicking and stuff like a little kid on the floor, right? And you get through with all that and your wife looks at you and says, you feel better now? You feel better now? Huh? What do you do? Huh? Huh? Sure, you have it on the temper tantrum. The fact is this, when you look at your life, right, and patience isn't there, you need to understand, you need to work on you. On you. I know what I need to do with me. But sometimes I don't like to do what I need to do with me. How about you? Same way. And that's the way our lives are today. So when you think about this long suffering, the long temper it talks about, even in James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, if you read that, it talks about a farmer. Now, the farmers this year were doing real well with all the rain. Then we had a dry spell. Remember that? The fact is this. The farmer can't make the crop grow. The farmer can't make it rain. Can't do any of it. So the farmer has to have patience to wait on the rain, to wait on the crop, to wait for the harvest. All these things you got to wait. You got to have patience to do that. I've raised on a, how many of y'all been raised on a farm? Okay, I was too. Man, you'd plant that stuff so dusty you couldn't see, and by the time you finished up, you know, and the crops came up, you know, and it dried out again, and you see the corn shrivel up. And you know that, yeah, it wasn't going to be much for Christmas, amen? Yeah, that's the way it was. But the fact is this, I can't make it rain, you can't make it rain. Only God takes care of that. And God knows exactly what we need to move ahead. So when the farmers are there and they have the patience to wait on those crops, we have to understand that if they can wait on the crops, we can wait at times too. We can build our patience. And then it says something else here that I like. It talks about an affirmation right now in the present time. Look what he said in verse 4. And patience, experience. Good. And experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. As we progress towards what I call a life that resembles Jesus Christ, we must always remember that God is with us every single day. How many times do we forget that? How many times do we forget that God is here to help us through the difficulties? In other words, He's there to do what? Instruct us, to give us direction. He's the what I call, He constructs things for us. He builds this, what, this beautiful Bible for us. He has given it to us to live by. He put His Son on the cross for us. And we look at the cross as a place that doesn't too pretty. But let me tell you what, if it wasn't for the cross, we wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for the cross, it would not be Jesus Christ. It would not be salvation. It wouldn't be a life to live today. He does this. But it's something else the Lord does too. He challenges us every single day to live our lives accordingly. Sometimes God is what I call the negator and encourager for us to keep on keeping on. Say, sometimes we need that little swift kick, you know, get us down the road. Need that little push, you know. Husbands, you know what I'm talking about. Your wives say, get it there and do this. Need that little push, don't you? Sure we do. We need a push because, well, I'm going to tell you what, sometimes we get downright lazy, don't we? We don't want to do anything. And so we need that little push in life to get us ahead. Don't you think you ought to do this? Don't you think you ought to do that? Don't you think you ought to do this? You ever get tired of that, man? Your wife tells you, you think you ought to do that? My thing, I'll learn this very quickly. But you say, I think you ought to. And I said, yeah, I already did. Amen. You got ahead of the game. That's what you do. And if you don't, what happens? You get into trouble with your wife. But the fact is, God is different than that. God does what? He runs with us. He runs with us every day. He puts us on the right mark. You remember what Paul said? I strive for the mark of the high calling, he said. He said, I've run that race. You know, we're in a race every single day that we live. And we need to learn how to run that race. I remember in school, I ran a mile and I ran the 440. You know, always liked it because when they took off, I was still on the line. Amen. I mean, you know. That's just the way it was. The fact is this, we need to progress. You cannot progress unless you learn to endure what God has for us, to have patience, to live your life according to God's Word, and to continue on the process, and to adjust your life, it says. He wants to give you hope and courage and strength to continue, and He's provided that for us. You remember Moses, old Moses, when he was up on the mountain and everything else, when he was up after the Lord? Here he was. But it said this in Exodus 34, and he said it in this verse 14. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. In other words, he says, I'll be with you. He said, I'll help you in your time of need. When you need the rest, I'll be there also. So he does all of that for us. He gives us that responsibility, and we should follow his direction. Now, as you look at your life today, first thing we need to understand is this. We need to hear what's going on. Okay? We need to hear. Remember the song we did, the last song, open our eyes, Lord, open our ears, so we can hear, so we can see, so we can do what God wants us to do. So it's a beautiful thing to remember this. Don't give up. Don't quit. That's the easiest thing to do, is to quit something. But to stand fast and firm in the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. And then he said this. He said, keep on praying. My goodness, we need a strong prayer life, don't we? We need to be strong in our prayer life today. And as we do this, think about this. God augments and supplements until the work of amazing beauty is created in you and in me. What does He want to create in us? A better person. Stronger relationship. He wants to encourage you. He wants you to endure the things you start with. He wants you to be patient in life. He wants you to experience those things that come your way. Why? Because experience builds hope. And it's hope of a better day. Because why? Because one day we will be with Him. But before that happens, guess what? There's love and unity and togetherness in the body of Christ because we come together to share, he tells us. Well, out of all of this that's been said right here, look at verse 5 again. Hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. If that Spirit lives in you, man, that love should be just oozing out of you. I mean, it should just be right there. And people should be what? Feeling it when they get around you. You get around somebody who's a real strong Christian, all of a sudden your boy's like, you want to back off a little bit? Could you feel it? You feel God's presence? That's the way it should be as a Christian. We should be so caught up in Jesus Christ and people get around you and the Spirit's so strong. Man, they say, what is it that you've got about you? You know? And you can tell them about Christ. What He's done for you. What He continues to do for you. Is this the life that we're supposed to live today? But in all of this, let me close in saying this morning. Are you close to quitting something in your life? You just don't want to do anymore? Well, it's like this. Don't give up and don't quit. Are you tired of trying to live for Christ? You ever thought about that? I got tired one time of living the Christian life. I was fed up to my eyeballs like that. Wasn't for the people, it'd be great. I quit for 6 months. I didn't preach. I didn't teach. I didn't do nothing. I barely went to church. I was just fed up with it. Had enough of it. Got in my boat and went fishing every day. Went to work in the post office where I was working. Boy, I was having a good time. You don't bother me, I won't bother you. I just quit. That's it. You know. Then one day, it was just like that. The Lord slapped me between the eyes. You wonder what happened? I'll tell you what happened. That same year that I'd give up, I came here in August of 2000 to preach one Sunday. And I had just pretty much left another church. I was fed up. Boy, I was up to my... And they said, you going to go? I said, I really don't want to go. I'm not going to do it. He said, well, go anyway. Go anyway. I said, okay. So I came. I preached. I remember Brenda and them was leaving the church. She said, what do you think about the church? I said, I'll pray for you. That's all I said. I'll pray for you. She goes, you know what to say? I went on home. I didn't think about church no more. October, I think it was JR or somebody called me, October. When we come to homecoming, you know, I've been out fishing, having a good time, don't bother me and I won't bother you. That's just the way it was. So I came and did homecoming. And I remember doing homecoming here, and this year we'll make my 19th homecoming, amen. And when I left that day, somebody said, well, what do you think? I said the same thing I thought last time. I'll be praying for you. But then it was Doug and John Burton, you know, they got together and called me and says, how about come have lunch with us, you know, one day? So they took me to a Chinese restaurant. They didn't realize I don't like Chinese, so you know, that didn't go across very well. But you know, you got to make like you like it, right? So that's what I was. John remember that? Yeah, he didn't like it either, did he? Hey, we were in good company that day. I wonder who did like it. Doug must have liked it. So we talked and everything else, and we were talking, you know. And they said, "But what do you think about the church?" I said, "It's a nice church." I said, "But really, I said, you know, I've had enough church." I've had enough of this stuff. You know, I've been fed up with it. And we got to talking a little bit more. I said, well, why don't you just come one more time and preach and see what you think. So I came and preached, and you have a call for the Lord to call me. Well, on December the 2nd, 2000, I accepted the call to this church. And you can't get rid of me since then, have you? And God has blessed this ministry like I've never seen a ministry blessed before for 18 years. And He'll continue to do the same thing. But I had to go through some fire, my friends, and endure some things that I didn't want to in my life so God could open my eyes so I may see, my ears that I may hear, to understand what I was going through to make me stronger in my walk of life. Sometimes you got to get in the valley so you'll look up the hill and see the one that's there for you. And the old saying is, don't quit, don't give up, but keep moving ahead. Because God will sustain you through any difficulty that comes your way. Yes, disappointments come. Ups and downs may come. But I can tell you one thing by God's word. I will live for Him till the day I die. Because I've been in that valley. And I've been on the hill. And I've been back in the valley. And I've been on the hill. And the best place to be, my friends, is when I'm down here looking up to Him, because I know He's down. He's looking down at me going, I'm here. You see, the only one that can get you out of the muck and mire of this world is Jesus Christ. And he will reach down with that strong arm and pick you up and put you on that solid foundation. Don't quit what you're doing for the Lord. Don't quit life. Live it to the fullest potential that God has given to you. And he will teach you how to endure, and he will teach you patience as you move ahead in life. Let's pray. Annette, would you come and play softly, please, on the piano this morning? What a joy to know that we have a God that loves us this much. That has given us that true opportunity today to share. Don't give up serving the Lord. It's easy to walk out to church and go home and never think about him again until next Sunday. You should think about him every day. You should look to him every day and ask him to help you through whatever difficulties you may be going through, the ups and downs of life that may come. Whether you have a physical, spiritual, or financial need, God's there for you, and he'll get you through. But you have to depend on him. Don't depend on you. Depend on him. And pray that God will be with you each day. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything that you do in this life. I look at your precious word and I think to myself, my goodness, how good you are to send us this beautiful love letter that we can live by it and learn more about it, more about ourselves, more about you, more about Christ, more about those that worked with you and the things you did with these individuals, Lord, through their ups and downs of life. You were always there. You always got them through the difficulties. May we see where we are today. If we need to adjust anything in our lives, may today be the day we make those adjustments and start to live for you. For it's your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. What's that hymn? 591? Okay. 591. Is that what it is? 591. 591. Have thine own way.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will. Follow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. And try me, Master, today.
Amen. Whiter than snow, he can make you that way right now by just turning your heart to him.
Humbly I.
And all God's people said, amen, and praise the Lord. You may be seated at this time. I'm going to have our deacons come as we prepare for the Lord's table today, our communion table. And may God continue to be with you. And remember one thing, his invitation never ends. It always continues on. Davis in the Psalms, he made this statement. With joy when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. It's always a joy for me to stand here once a month and to be able to administer this beautiful meal called the Lord's Supper, the communion table, the Eucharist, as many call it too. And to think about his death, burial, and resurrection. Hey, he was willing to go to a cross, to be beaten, to shed his precious blood. And it shows how much love he had for us. how much that love is still flowing today as it touches the hearts of people. It says that on that night as they gathered together in the upper room, he took a common meal of bread and wine and said that the bread represented his body that was broken and the wine represented his shed blood. It says at that time, he said he broke the bread and they blessed it. At this time, I will ask J.R. to lead us in that prayer, please. After giving thanks, he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It says on the same night that he took the cup of wine, the fruit of the vine, to represent his shed blood. At this time, I'll ask that Billy Burgess will lead us in that prayer, please. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Once he had blessed the fruit of the vine, he said this, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." It says, "For as often as you eat the bread and drink of this cup, he shows the Lord's death until he returns. For you remember the special time that we spend each month. Take it with you and remember through the day what Christ has done for you." It was on that night they sang a song as they left. We stand this morning and leave. Good to have you with us today. Those of us and everybody, let's sing one stanza, "Blessed Be the Tide," this morning. Let's stand together. Blessed.